You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up tomorrow morning after 8, join Joy Cardine and her guests for this edition of The Week in Review. They'll look at the latest on the state budget deal, the federal debt ceiling, the end of DACA, and other top stories from state and national news. That's tomorrow morning after 8 here on the Ideas Network.
Now, Attorney General Jeff Sessions stuck with the legal arguments for the Trump administration's decision to end the consideration of deferred action for childhood arrivals, or DACA. But during his argument, he said that there was an economic component as well.
It also denied jobs to hundreds of thousands of Americans by allowing those same illegal aliens to take those jobs.
If the Obama-era policy is repealed, it could impact more than 750,000 people who were brought to the country illegally as children. And according to the report released by the Center for American Progress and the pro-immigration group Forward.us, has found that the repeal of DACA won't necessarily promise more jobs, could actually have a severe impact on the U.S. economy.
Tom Javits joins us now. He's vice president of immigration policy at the Center for American Progress, a progressive think tank based in Washington, D.C. Tom, thanks for joining us today.
Sure. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, let's start with that premise from the attorney general. DACA made these 800,000 people protected eligible to get jobs. Those jobs could have gone to citizens. So ultimately having them here hurt those citizens. What do you make of that argument?
Yeah, I mean, that's the same sort of zero-sum argument that you often hear from immigration restrictionists and Senator Sessions, or Attorney General Sessions, when he was Senator Sessions, was the loudest voice in Congress for that position. But it's just not borne out by the facts. Economists of all stripes, conservative, liberal, progressive, Democratic, Republican, conservative economists, have found, looking at immigration generally, that immigrants are a net positive for the economy and that by being both economic producers and also consumers, they help to generate growth. And so, you know, one thing we know from this particular population is that DACA recipients are actually heavily concentrated in industries like education and health services that have an unemployment rate that's even lower than the very low unemployment rate in the nation as a whole. And so there's no reason whatsoever to believe that, you know, there's a glut of unemployed middle school science teachers and math teachers out there who would step forward and take the kinds of jobs that these DACA recipients have been filling every single day for the last 5 years.
Suppose things go on as they are now. DACA is phased out. People currently protected are at risk of deportation. How do you see that affecting the economy?
Well, the impact would be dramatic. We actually worked with a couple of economists about a year and a half ago to study what the impact would be of removing all unauthorized immigrant workers from the economy. At the time, to be honest, it was something of a thought experiment, but I think the value of that study has been paying dividends. Looking at the method that was developed by those economists, which has been published now in a working paper series that's reviewed by fellow economists and has been very well regarded, we looked at what the impact would be of ending DACA and removing the approximately 700,000 DACA recipients who currently are in the workforce. We know that about 91% of DACA recipients are now in the workforce. And the impact would be stark. You'd see a loss over about a decade of about $460 billion in national gross domestic product. Because DACA recipients are present in every single state around the country and are present in every single industry, the impact would not be felt only in some place. It would be felt everywhere. So Wisconsin, for instance, there are nearly 8,000 DACA recipients in Wisconsin, and the state would lose about $500 million in annual GDP if the DACA recipients who are in Wisconsin, who are currently in the workforce, were removed.
As a job seeker looking at this, could someone say, okay, if there are fewer people competing for this pool of jobs, that makes my labor more valuable, my wages could go up in this case? Is there an economic argument for individuals who might see some benefit here?
No, I mean, again, even looking at a much larger population of the unauthorized generally, where you have 11 million undocumented immigrants in the country and about 7 to 8 million who are in the workforce, all economic studies show that the impact on wages is at best negligible, or at worst, essentially negligible. There's for the unauthorized immigrant population generally, there is not really much competition. It's more of a complementary relationship. And for DACA recipients in particular, again, like I said, you see them concentrated in industries that have even lower unemployment rates than you see in the national economy more generally. But the other thing about this is, and I think this is what's often lost in the immigration debate, is that individuals, immigrants, are not just workers who are producing and are in jobs, but they're also consumers as well, right? And so when you have 800,000 individuals who are in the workforce, who are going to school, who are going to university, who are renting apartments, who are buying houses, we know that about, I think, 15% of DACA recipients has purchased a house. They're generating economic growth for the country, for their communities. They're paying state and local taxes. All of this is helping to create an economy that's moving forward and allowing for the creation of additional jobs. And so we don't actually see a trade-off of that sort when you look at the broader immigration issue or even at the more narrow DACA population in particular.
There are concerns that as baby boomers more and more leave the workforce and retire, we might actually have worker shortages in some areas. I mean, can we fix some of that with immigration?
Yeah, I mean, that's a critically important question and something that I think never really gets talked about. I mean, when I looked at that, at the images from Charlottesville and looked at the marches taking place around the Confederate monument, the chants that really struck me were the "you will not replace us" chants. Not just because they were so clearly targeted at Jews and targeted at people of color and targeted at immigrants, but because actually, speaking from an economics perspective, this country and its future growth is counting on immigrants and their children to replace the millions of boomers who are retiring from the economy, from the workforce all the time. The National Academy of Sciences did a study last year in which they found essentially that in the current decade, but for immigrants and their children, we would have a negative working age population growth over that period of time. And in the decade to come, the only reason we're gonna have not a negative one, the only reason we're not gonna shed, I think, about 8 million workers from the working age population is specifically because of immigrants and their children. The work of these people, the benefits they will be producing for our economy, the taxes they will be paying, and Social Security taxes, is precisely what is gonna allow us to keep our commitment to older Americans who are retiring out of the workforce today.
Can you talk about the impact of immigrant workers who are not currently under DACA? There's concern that because they're in such a precarious position, they will work for lower wages, they can be subject to wage theft, they have no workplace protections, and so some employers are turning to them for cheaper labor when they could be and should be paying people higher wages.
Yes, yeah, so, I mean, that is a complicated issue. I mean, it is definitely the case that when individuals gain legal status, they gain the ability to more easily complain about their working conditions and their suppressed wages, and that can then be beneficial. So one issue for that, frankly, is we've got in this country, unfortunately, a dying labor movement, and we have seen that the country's disparities of income inequality have been at their lowest when the labor movement has been at its strongest. And so that's, in some ways, that's just a general symptom of a much larger problem in this country. But specifically, again, I think there's no question that there is both wage theft that takes place and some abusive conditions that affects undocumented workers, and frankly, many of the U.S. citizens and employment-authorized immigrant workers who work in those same factories and those same plants. That's why we need, frankly, broader reforms that would actually allow more of these people to gain some additional power and gain some additional protections so they can better bargain for their for better working conditions and wages, and that would then lift the boat for all.
Very briefly, as we wrap up, we've seen a lot of business leaders speak out against this change. Do you think that they'll have an impact on what Congress ultimately does?
You know, I spent 6.5 years working for the House Judiciary Committee, and I know that a couple things. I know, one, that there are absolutely members on both sides of the aisle who understand this issue well, who want to find a responsible solution. I also know from my years working there that things began to deteriorate over time. What I think the significance of these business leaders coming out, of faith leaders, including evangelical leaders, of hundreds upon hundreds of university presidents, including the University of Wisconsin system, coming out in support of this, is that it can actually create the political will and the political space for those members who want to get to yes to finally get to yes. Congress.
And we have to leave it there. Thanks to Tom Javits from the Center for American Progress, looking at the economic impact of the DACA repeal.